Robinson, Sister, A.H. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong, New South Wales, Australia. November 27, 1899. My dear Sister Robinson, I have just received my American mail. My secretary has read me my letters, many of which are of a very interesting character. I will answer your letter first. As you relate your experience in the death of your child, and how you bowed in prayer, submitting your will to the will of your Heavenly Father, leaving the matter with Him, my mother heart is touched. I have passed through an experience similar to the experience through which you have just passed. When my eldest son was 16 years old, he was stricken down in sickness. His case was considered critical, and he called us to his bedside and said, "Father, Mother, it will be hard for you to part with your eldest son. If the Lord sees fit to spare my life, for your sake I will be pleased. If it is for my good and His name's glory for my life to close now, I will say, it is well with my soul. Father, go by yourself, and Mother, go by yourself, and pray. Then you will receive an answer according to the will of my Savior, whom you love and I love." He was afraid that if we should bow together, our sympathies would strengthen, and we would ask for that which it would not be best for the Lord to grant. We did as he requested, and our prayers were similar in every point to the prayers you offered. We received no evidence that our son would recover. He died, putting his full trust in Jesus, our Savior. His death was a great blow to us, but it was a victory even in death, for his life was hid with Christ in God. Before the death of my eldest boy, my babe was sick unto death. We prayed, and thought that the Lord would spare us our darling, but we closed his eyes in death, and laid him away to rest in Jesus, until the life-giver shall come to awaken his precious loved ones to a glorious immortality. Then my husband, the faithful servant of Jesus Christ, who had stood by my side for 36 years, was taken from me, and I was left to labor alone. He sleeps in Jesus. I have no tears to shed over his grave. But how I miss him! How I long for his words of counsel and wisdom! How I long to hear his prayers blending with my prayers for light and guidance, for wisdom to know how to plan and lay out the work! But the Lord has been my counselor, and the Lord will give you grace to bear your bereavement. You inquire in regard to your little one being saved. Christ's words are your answer. Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Luke 18, verse 16. Remember the prophecy, "Thus saith the Lord." A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children refused to be comforted. "Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears. For thy work shall be rewarded, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to thine own border." Jeremiah 31, verse 15-17. This promise is yours. You may be comforted and trust in the Lord. The Lord has often instructed me that many little ones are to be laid away before the time of trouble. We shall see our children again. We shall meet them and know them in the heavenly courts. Put your trust in the Lord and be not afraid. My sister, you inquire in regard to the disposition of means in your hands for the advancement of the work. I know of no field more destitute of means, more in need of consecrated workers, than this part of the Lord's vineyard. Here in Kurrenbong, we have erected a health retreat, where the sick can receive treatment. But this building is not yet fully equipped. Soon we must pay £200 to those who put up the building. Then we must furnish it. I am thankful that we have this building, for we need it so much. In the past, we have used our own home for the accommodation of the sick, for we could not see them suffer in places where they could not be properly cared for. One day, Miss McInturfer, my secretary, was called to see a boy who had hurt his foot. She went to the house where he was and found him in a very dangerous condition. In running, he had stepped on broken glass and cut his ankle. This accident happened 4 days before Miss McInturfer was sent for, and when she first saw the wound, blood poisoning had set in. The wound, which had been dressed with lard, was covered with proud flesh, and the pain was so intense that for 3 nights the boy had not slept. Miss McInturfer dressed the wound, but she saw that the boy would never get well while he remained where he was. She asked the parents if he might be brought to our place. To this they agreed, and the boy stayed with us for 10 days, receiving treatment constantly. At the end of this time, he was sent home quite well. We have just held a camp meeting in Maitland, a town about 30 miles from here. The tent was pitched in the city park, and all through the meeting the attendance was good. On Sabbath and Sunday afternoons, the large meeting tent was filled, while a wall of people stood on the outside. Elders Starr, Colcord, and Hickox are following up the work in Maitland. I have just received a letter from them, saying that the interest continues good. All round Maitland are small towns, and from these towns, people have been coming to the meetings. They are calling for someone to hold meetings where they live. Brother Starr and Brother Colcord have been visiting them. Much light has been brought from God's Word during our meeting. The people, who have never known the Scriptures before, seem never weary of hearing. Now is the golden opportunity for the workers to give the message in all the settlements round Maitland. Brother Starr writes that they need all the workers they can get. This work of entering new territory requires laborers who can do house-to-house work. Vigilant, earnest, persevering efforts must be made. But we are handicapped for want of means. The money you speak about in your letter would certainly be a great blessing to us at this time. But ask the Lord about the matter. He will tell you what to do. We see an interest in Maitland which must be followed up. The Tuesday after the meeting started, a cyclone struck the tents, leaving only 5 standing. Several tents were completely destroyed. The camp meeting bore an appearance of disaster and loss. But no complaining or murmuring was heard. No discouragement was manifested. The campers went cheerfully to work and did their level best to repair the damage done. This made a good impression upon the people. They thought that after this calamity, we might leave the place. But we assured them that we would remain and fill our appointments. I never saw more sympathy manifested in any community than has been shown us by the people of Maitland. After the storm, they threw open their doors and invited the campers to come to their houses and occupy their rooms free of charge. Oh, how pleasant this was! The Holy Spirit will certainly reward these kind friends. We believe that the Spirit moved upon their hearts, leading them to do as they did. Verily, they will receive their reward. The Lord will bless them by opening their hearts to receive the truth. The Sunday after the cyclone, the large tent was filled with people to its utmost capacity, and a wall of people stood on the outside. In another tent, at the same time, 150 children were receiving excellent instruction. As the meeting drew to a close, our ministers were often asked the question, "Can you not remain another week?" This matter was presented before the congregation on Sunday afternoon, and when the people were asked to raise the hand if they wished the meetings continued, 2/3 of those present raised their hands. What a week's work we had! The interest was good until the close. On the last Sunday, the attendance was very large. Many people walked miles to get to the meetings and remained till after the evening meeting. The entire day was filled with earnest labor, but none seemed to be weary. During the week, the large tent was moved to a paddock belonging to the house Elder Starr has rented for the accommodation of the mission workers. Everything is well arranged for a continued effort. The paddock is well fenced, and there is no need to pay a man especially to keep the tent from being damaged. Last Friday, we drove in our phaeton to Maitland. I spoke on Sabbath and Sunday afternoons. The attendance was good. There was also a meeting on Sunday evening. Other tents must be pitched in various places about Maitland. The workers must do their best. The Lord employs human instrumentalities through whom He works. They are to exert an influence which will draw men to Christ. Each worker must now pray in faith. The work we are doing requires money, and if you feel free to help us at this time, we will thank the Lord that He uses you as His almoner. A large field is opening before us, a field which is all ripe for the harvest.